wanted to talk to you about building consensus and promoting data-driven policy and using the example of the Smith City in Arkansas. There are 5 points to consider today when looking at Arkansas. First, I wanted to give you a brief overview of what Arkansas is like and our substance abuse issues. Defining the roles of the SO within Arkansas, our management team, and our advisory committee. Examining the relationships between these three decision-making bodies. Looking at how the three groups work together to determine our specific priorities, and also issues to consider and how we are planning on sustaining the SO and the relationships between all the stakeholders. Briefly, Arkansas is a small state. We're nestled between Tennessee and Texas, Missouri and Louisiana. We only have approximately 3 million residents. Populations across the state vary. Our largest minority is African American population, around 16%. And that's focused primarily in the Mississippi Delta region. We do have a small Hispanic population, but as you can tell on the slide, we're only second to North Carolina in terms of growth, where we grew 337% between 1990 and 2000. And the Hispanic populations are mainly concentrated in areas of job growth around poultry industry and timber. We're one of the poorest states in terms of the family median income. Right now we're around $32,000 compared to the national average of $44,000. We have high rates of infant mortality, teen pregnancy, and approximately a quarter of our children live in poverty. Going back to the FISIG, the purpose of the Arkansas SO was to assess the substance abuse consequences and related consumption patterns, and we have four points. My group, we collected, analyzed, and interpreted data on substance abuse and related consequences. Obviously, we didn't do primary collection of data, but looking at the different databases related to health, criminal justice, impacts on children. The second thing we did was to inform problem identification and the goal setting for the state priorities. We then worked simultaneously for the past 2 years with the advisory committee and the management team on a systematic understanding of the available data. And we've created the epidemiological profile for Arkansas, which we will actually have published at the end of the month, and it will be available online as well. I would like to say that the Arkansas SO, like Renee was saying earlier, we didn't have an epidemiological work group prior to getting specific grant. We were a Cohort 2 state funded in 2005. So a lot of things that we've done have been, we looked at states like New Mexico that already had a standing epidemiological work group to see what kinds of things they were doing and how to proceed. We have two committees. We have the advisory committee and the management team. In the advisory committee, it's a group of between like 40 and 60 individuals, and you have the politicians, the state representatives, and whatnot. And they represent the various aspects of substance abuse. We have a lot of people from criminal justice, education, health departments, nonprofits. And they have met quarterly for the past 2-3 years. And then within that, we have the management team. It's comprised of 5 people who act as the liaison between the EPI work group and the advisory committee. The management team is the decision-making body of the SPFSIG, and they meet monthly to discuss all various aspects of the SPFSIG. We use them in order, every time we have data questions or whatnot, or concerns, they pass it on to our advisory committee. And the management team is the one that ultimately sets the priorities for Arkansas. Excuse me. So what did the Arkansas EPI work group find? Well, our alcohol and binge drinking rates are slightly lower than the U.S. average. However, we do have a high overall crash fatality rate for adults and, excuse me, youth. For the adults, our crash fatality rate is 11 per 100,000 versus 7 for the nation. Our smoking rates, I don't know, we have one of the highest smoking rates in Arkansas. We rank all consistently within the top 5. Almost 50% of Arkansans between the ages of 18 to 25 smoke, and a third of Arkansans age 12 or older have admitted to using tobacco within the past month. For methamphetamine, we're also high. We ranked 7th nationally in terms of use. Our only figures are actually for adult use are from the NISDA. That's where we rank 7th. However, with methamphetamine, in 2005, we passed legislation prohibiting pseudoephedrine use. So lab seizure rates have gone down from 785 in 2003 to 347 in 2005.
so sorry.
I'm sorry.
Is that going
to
be?
No, go ahead.
Don't put water near the computer. I'm sorry, I had pneumonia, so. It's a miracle I made it here. Okay. Problems with the available data. And this, for months, this plagued us in trying to figure out how to organize our epi profile and what we were going to set the priorities. We have an extremely limited amount of data on adult drug use. Currently, for Arkansas, the NISDA provides the only population-level numbers. And as Renee said during her population, there's emphasis on the lifespan. Well, we can't even get very good numbers for the lifespan. And at 26, it goes to 26 and older. So we had real issues in trying to set priorities. What are we going to do about adults? We also have a lack of comparable data. It's, again, most data systems aren't designed to collect uniform information, especially with the hospital discharge data, and particularly with criminal justice data. We have several data systems that collect arrest data, but we can't compare because they're collecting different aspects of records. Other issues are sparse data. We have infrequent surveys. We have the YRBS not collected regularly in Arkansas. Questions change, particularly for methamphetamine. We've had problems classifying methamphetamine until this year. There's changes and shifts in the data management systems and conflicting information, particularly among youth. We have the Arkansas Prevention Needs Assessment Survey, which is the major survey to collect youth substance abuse information in Arkansas, and it consistently conflicts with what we find in the YRBS. And this is the document that we came up with, which, as far as I know, if anybody knows of another one, please let me know. We're the only one that has an independent document of data limitations and recommendations amongst the 56 states. And again, we use this frequently when talking to the advisory committee, and they're asking questions on, you know, what about methamphetamine system, you know, why don't we have this? And I can always point to this document and say, well, I can tell you why, because if you look, we don't have information on this, this, and this. This has proved to be extremely useful. Because the SO was able to line out specifically what problems we had, we were allowed to go ahead and do the initial elimination of substances without the advisory committee or the management team. We decided early on that we were going to eliminate prescription drugs and other drugs. We do have data that suggests that inhalants are on the rise in Arkansas, but the data is so limited we didn't think that we could set an indicator for inhalants using such a small amount. Tobacco, we have a lot of information on tobacco, but we also got quite a large settlement for tobacco. We have a lot of programs in place, and we did not feel that the specific money would be doing justice. So, and also our problems declining. So, preparing for the prioritization and presenting the data, along with our management team, who we work a lot, obviously a lot more closely than the advisory committee, just due to the size, we decided how to determine how to present the data and how we were going to quantify what we found to the advisory committee, making and put it in layman's terms as best as we could. One thing we did was we created one-page fact sheets. We chose four primary substances, alcohol, cocaine, marijuana, and methamphetamine. And we decided to go ahead and do the consumption consequences, or prevalence and impact. And in order to address all the diversity on the advisory committee, and even within the SO itself, we focused on health, criminal justice, and the impacts on children and adolescents. And this is what our fact sheets end up looking like. And the design is even such that you get equal weight to prevalence and the impacts. We decided to go ahead and meet in May 2006 with our advisory committee on how we were going to rate the data. And I'd like to thank Connecticut because we actually used their priority rating table and then modified it for Arkansas. We ran it through the SO. We modified the table, ran it through the management team, who then made final suggestions. And then we were ready to go to meet the advisory committee. And this is what our priority rating table looked like. I'm not sure if anybody here is familiar with Connecticut's. We used a larger Likert scale because we wanted to tease out little nuances in how people felt instead of doing 1 through 5, where you could have quite a bit of difference. When we met with the advisory committee, we divided them into small teams, probably 6 or 7, and we purposely set them up to where you had a diverse group within, so not all the criminal justice people were sitting together, not all the educators, which typically happened at the quarterly meeting. Each member of the SO, there's a core group of four of us, gave a presentation on a different substance, and we emphasized what data was available. Throughout the process, we constantly said that this has to be a data-driven, because we were always getting anecdotal information throughout the advice. The longer the quarterly meetings went, the more anecdotal information came. So we emphasized that it had to be data-driven. That gave them a chance to ask questions that they wouldn't have to in front of larger groups. Then we asked them to rate the importance of the substance based on what we had told them, and we also gave them fact sheets. Sorry. Surprisingly, because methamphetamine is always talked about in Arkansas because we have such high rates, and everyone assumed methamphetamine would come out on top. Not shocking to the SO, but shocking to the advisory committee, alcohol received the majority of votes. And we did two different measures. We measured each impact category and the prevalence category equally, and then we weighted, we averaged the impacts together and gave them one score, and then added it to prevalence. Marijuana and methamphetamine placed second, depending upon the measurement used, and cocaine placed last during both measurements. The interesting thing about cocaine is that cocaine actually has a slightly higher number of use for methamphetamine, but we've had a cocaine problem for approximately 20 years, yet it's never been considered a priority in Arkansas. So, in last month, during the summer, we sent out for the RPF, for Arkansas, and we had 26 county-level coalitions apply, and 15 of them got them. And as you can see, we determined alcohol as being the priority. We did underage drinking, and we did the alcohol-related motor vehicle crashes. We have 15, I believe 12 of them chose underage drinking. You see, there's 13 districts, and those are prevention resource centers. Three of them did not have specific funded coalitions. Pulaski County, which is number 9, is the capital, and we believe that's because, there's already good county coalition, county level coalitions there. In the Delta, we only had one, and we're kind of disappointed because that's such an underserved area in Arkansas. The keys to successful relationships between stakeholders in Arkansas. I've been working on this for 2 years, and there's a continual emphasis on data-driven policy in Arkansas. Every decision, you know, you get a lot of the good old boy mentality when you go to different meetings. And, well, I heard this constant emphasis on data-driven policy. I've never been to a meeting where that wasn't emphasized. The Arkansas SO was very determined. We were going to have documentation to back up any decisions regarding data analysis. It has actually served us very well. Like I said, with the data limitations document, we're able to back up every step we've ever done. We have regularly scheduled meetings, and during the EPI profile, when things are slow, we still meet so we know what's going on, even without the management team. And finally, we're making sure that all of our committees display diversity among the members. We never have, the criminal justice is a huge group in Arkansas, they never have any, just themselves, education, and so I think that's why we've been extremely successful. Everybody's been very positive about the SO. Right now, we're working on how are we going to sustain the SO after the specific hits up. Since I said before, we don't have a group, an EPI group in Arkansas. We've also put documents, as far as I know, like I said, that have only been unique to Arkansas. Sorry. So, any questions or